Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Keith Cheggers podcast. This is episode 6.
Yes.
And today, I just touched the microphone. Today, you are here with me, Hannah Norris, and Carl
Donnelly,
my husband,
and professional father of your child.
To be.
Father
isn't
of
here yet.
And I'm still.
But you still are that.
Still partly responsible for this predicament.
You and the NHS.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
Who also were a big help.
They were a massive with help.
The IVF that we did to get to this point. But yes, I am pregnant. I can almost say that without feeling weird about it.
Yes.
And this is a podcast about pregnancy, where I am currently at week 11.
Yes.
This week, it's just me and Carl here today, which is quite interesting, actually, because we've got a list of guests and people that we are looking to talk to throughout the season. But while we were talking the other day, we realized that we actually know lots of people who do not have children.
Yeah, once I thought, you know, I said we're of an age where I just assume everyone's got kids.
Yeah.
And then actually, I think because we work in an industry and industries where it attracts people that don't like growing up, I suppose.
Yeah.
And being sort of what would be often called tied down. I think a lot of people we know of our age actually have sort of decided not to have kids.
But I guess as well in terms of like lifestyle with comedy and in the acting world, lots of touring and things like that where it is, well, you know, you're out of town quite a lot and being careerists as well, I guess, that it's a different mindset and framework. And probably because we are older, like I'm 40 nearly next week. And Carl's
38 next month.
You know, that people who are our age, who we associate with, might not be going into the having children vibe.
But we still have loads of good. We've got loads of friends who do.
Yeah,
and like we're going to be chatting to them.
Yes, but for this week, it's just me and Carl.
And also because I think last couple when we've been chatting to other people, it's amazing hearing other people's pregnancy stories. That's why you wanted to do this.
Yes,
but also I think it's good for you to share your experiences. Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean that's part of it. Well, I mean it's all of it, really, for me and for us.
Of course.
So, yeah, we're at week 11, which means we're coming to the very end of the first trimester.
Yes.
Which is exciting because that's when the second trimester is supposed to be the best one.
And it's also when you can start properly telling people.
Yeah.
So, obviously, we've been recording this but not releasing them.
Yeah.
But by the time people are listening to this, obviously, they
It will be public knowledge.
Well, yeah, well, also, they won't. I imagine they would have picked up on that, but in the first 5 episodes that you are pregnant.
Yeah.
It's been very much key to the the podcast.
But generally, this won't be the way that we're telling our friends and people we know by just making them listen to the podcast.
I was just going to send them an episode.
I mean, we could do.
Send it to my parents, even though they don't know what a podcast is.
We did tell them, but I think
we did tell them.
So with the end of the first trimester, supposed to start feeling better, which has definitely been happening for me. I've been feeling much less sick.
Yeah. As an observer, I've noticed that.
Yeah, and my appetite started coming back.
Appetite, the food, certain foods you had to avoid.
Yeah.
And like just, I think it's, you know, you haven't been sick.
No.
You had a couple of days when you felt rough, but on the whole, it was a general level of just a sense of not feeling yourself.
Yeah, just like a constant nausea.
Yeah.
That's in the background. Yeah, I feel, well, I mean, who knows what's coming up, but I feel like I've swerved proper mornings, definitely swerved proper morning sickness. You know, no, I haven't thrown up once.
No.
And I imagine that would, you know, is not the best way to spend a couple of months.
Absolutely.
So I feel very grateful for that. But even that, like, I can really feel that difference of that kind of background nausea, not just hanging around at the moment.
Tiredness, definitely. You don't seem as tired as you did for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's changed as well. That I feel towards the end of the day that I still, that I have energy rather than just going, oh, that's the end.
Well, yesterday, the end. I was so tired.
Yeah. It's swapped now.
I had big bags under my eyes. It was weird.
After sleeping for 10 and a half hours.
I know. I had such a big bag under one eye that I thought you might have hit me in my sleep.
Or not, you didn't think you might have hit yourself, just...
No, I did mainly blame you for it.
But it was just a tired...
It was just massive
eye
bags.
Swelling. Yeah. Only on one eye, though.
Yeah.
But that's because, yeah, I'd kind of noticed it because I'd said to you, I think that's going to happen to me. I think I'm going to get those big black bags under my eyes I have a child.
Sympathy bags I had. That's the thing I'm doing. Currently I'm doing sympathy bags.
That's like a drag queen name.
Also, I'm definitely eating for two.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not pregnant.
I'm giving you, letting go, just saying it's winter and it's hibernating time.
But I don't know what's happened to me. I've got, it's almost like your lack of appetite the last month. I've just gone, I'll pick that up, don't worry. So that will need to end.
Yeah. But not yet, it's fine.
Yeah.
With my appetite back, I ate kale for the first time on Sunday.
Yeah.
Which was exciting because I love kale, but I have absolutely despised it for the past
all greens. You're months. A real green food eater.
Yeah.
Things like, you know, everything I've tried to like offer and make things and it's just not happening at all.
No, thank you. But
you ate some sprouts as well.
Yeah, I did. But in the morning, I kind of wake up in the mornings and I start to go through in my head what I think I could perhaps eat that day.
Yeah.
And so with the kale and beans and things like that, I'd wake up a couple of times and go, maybe I could eat beans. And the thought of them didn't make me feel sick. So that was like the first step, but I still couldn't commit to actually doing it for a little while. But then I've got to the point where I can actually do it and I am eating it.
Yes.
And we also, just before... So it's my birthday next week. Carl just kind of brought up that some of the plans or little ideas you were having for my birthday, but you didn't want to book anything in case it was something that I was like, don't want to eat that. Can't have that.
Yeah, of course. Like there was, I was looking at, it's quite a swanky restaurant that has a really nice vegan tasting menu.
Mm.
And some of the courses are quite, you know, they'd be quite crazy. And
faux gras.
Yeah, like like sort of mushroom-based pate type thing, and you know, I mean, that sort of thing I would like, and I think you would rest of the time maybe, but I thought this is a risk, me just booking something that you actually, it ends up making you feel unwell.
And I did read the menu and went, no, I don't
exactly
think
so. What I decided to be the grown up and just say, look, I've got a few ideas, but I'm actually going to run them past you to pick one.
Yeah.
And you've picked an afternoon tea.
Yes, because I'm 40 and I would do old things. Would I have done? Oh my, I was drunk on my birthday last year. Remember?
Where did we? What happened?
I had that afternoon tea that I went to with work.
Yeah.
And then went to the pub in Soho. But I didn't have any dinner. I was supposed to meet you for dinner, and I left you waiting at the pub. At the Coach and Horses.
Oh, yes.
I was at Claridge's and then I was like, I don't want to eat anything. I'm just having Prosecco.
Oh, God.
So that won't be the way this year.
I'm going to get so drunk. I'm going to get sympathy drunk.
Yeah, you're allowed to. Another thing I've noticed in this week is that I've started getting really hot. It's the first week of December, so we've gone into winter.
Yes.
But my body temperature, I think, has changed.
Right.
Like, I had been using the electric blanket all the time, but now I'm like, nope. Don't want to put that on. Gone out, like, I was completely rugging up with scarf, hat, gloves, big jacket, and now maybe, like, I'm wearing the jacket, but all those accessories are in the bin.
Yes. We've had to discuss changing sides of bed.
Yes, I can't wait for that.
I know, because of your every 2-hour toilet breaks.
Yeah, yeah. It started off just being once in the night to get up to do a wee. Usually I just sleep through the night and didn't have to get up at all. But since there's internal pressure being put on my bladder, that's changed. And Carl was away, and so I slept on his side of the bed, which is nearer the door, and I couldn't believe how quick it was to get up and go to the toilet. Because I only had to do like two steps rather than walking around the whole bed.
Yeah. So we are, that is, it's been, I offered, I said, why don't we swap?
Yeah.
And it's in the process now.
Yeah, but we haven't done it yet.
I'm sure I'll get used to that side of the bed.
Mm.
It's going to be weird though, isn't it?
Yeah. But you don't, you're just, you don't need to get up to go to the toilet.
If anything, it does mean you're now next to the alarm clock, which will...
No, we'll put that back on your side.
Oh, no.
But also it means I have to fight off the intruders.
Yes.
I'm next to the door.
True.
But I can do that. I'm pretty tough.
We'll buy you some weaponry.
Yes, please. Another thing. So because we did do IVF, we are still doing IVF, although we were discharged from the clinic. When we got discharged, I still had to be on progesterone, which has been these pessaries. Now, I sort of talked about it a tiny bit last week with Bryony, but Frank was getting chatty at that point. And it's, I'm really sick. I'm sick of them. They're totally fine,
yeah.
But I'm sick of them. So I wanted to explain it a bit more, even though it's a bit gross.
When you've said the word pessaries to other people, friends of ours,
yeah.
And they knew what they were.
Yeah.
So, and I'd literally never heard that word before until you were given them to use.
Yeah. I think it just means like it's a tablet that like dissolves internally that you usually put up your bum or up your vagina.
I thought that was for suppositories, I know.
Yeah, so that must be up the bum.
So pessaries are up the...
Fanny.
Okay.
Yeah, I might look it up in the dictionary and find a proper definition. But yeah, they got up the vagina. And so at the moment, or actually for the whole time I've been on them, I have to do two at night when I go to bed.
Yes.
And then I have to take two in the morning, but still have to be lying down for half an hour to an hour to make sure that they absorb a bit after you take them, rather than just like falling out.
Yes.
So what it is, there's like an applicator that's sort of about the, it's like a biro.
Well, yeah, it looks a bit like one of them sort of posh lady cigarette holders.
Yeah, it's like white.
But if posh ladies put up their fannies, yeah. Instead of they shoved smoking them up weird their cigarettes.
Vagina. And then you pop the pessary in the end and then you insert the biro-like applicator into your vagina and you just pop them up there.
And there's an audible click.
Yeah.
Which I can hear.
Mm.
Which I got used to very quickly.
Again. Yeah, again, at the start, it was like, because we're not very, like, we don't go to the toilet in front of each other.
No. Or on each other.
Or in each other, on each other. There's no toilet.
We don't pass wind around each other, which I've talked about at length on stage.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, we're quite sort of...
it's kind of like, yeah, keeping those, I mean, I imagine that the giving birth process might change a lot of that stuff. There's going to be a whole...
It might do. But I also
I think I'm going to poo myself. I've just got such... I think there's going to be shit.
Oh, I don't want it to.
I've got such a vision about it.
Oh, God.
Maybe I'm manifesting it. Manifesting a big poo. But, yeah, so the pessaries was almost like I would rather... It feels like putting a tampon in front of you, which yeah, I would.
But you don't do it right in front of you. You've got,
no, it's under the covers. We're in bed.
The covers are over. Or basically, all I see is you go quite still, and then there's this slight pause, and I just hear.
Yeah.
And then it's done.
And it's been like, again, this is information, but sort of getting used to how far up it can go.
Yeah.
Like definitely early on, I was like, this doesn't feel like it's all the way up, and I reckon I was only inserting it kind of half the way because. It feels quite skinny and like you could just lose it up there. But I haven't lost any up there.
No. Didn't one come out?
Oh, yeah. One did fall out once. but along with that, it means because the pessaries, let's just talk about this.
Well, this is what it's about.
The people pessaries, I think they've got some sort of oil. I have a feeling they're not vegan, first of all.
Oh, really?
I think there's some kind of oil-based or maybe lanolin or something like that to the capsule. So when I do a wee, there's like white flakes in it, like some bits of glue.
Really?
Yeah, as it comes out. Oh. And the discharge is like, it's like thick white plastic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a comedian, Eleanor Tin, and she does an amazing routine that just there's this bit about it, how there's just the stuff that falls out of our vaginas all the time. I've seen it, yeah. And women don't really talk about that. It's,
yeah.
And it's true. But this is like, this is another level, because it's not actually from my body.
No.
But it's just like
some stuff up there, and then your body gets rid of what it doesn't need.
Yeah. Which I have to assume that it's taking the progesterone in, because there seems to be a lot of shit that's coming out.
And you've only got about a week or two left on those, haven't you?
I think I've only got a few days.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. Because I think I typed, like, I knew I had about 14 left. And then last night I was halfway through this packet and I was like, oh, I've timed that wrong. I think it finishes this weekend.
Yeah.
Which is really very exciting.
It is exciting. No more
noises. Except I'll just start putting other stuff up there next.
Oh, stop putting things up your fanny.
So there's like in terms of symptoms and things, that's really the main things that are going on. Though with the less tired thing, it's this week really that I've been feeling less tired. But I have started doing some work shifts back at the cafe down the road where I used to work. And I still, like, I did that on Sunday. I worked 8:30 to 3:30, and then I just come home and I can't get up. It is still the same amount of, I have to lie down the same amount of time that I worked for.
Yes.
Which feels pathetic.
No, but you have your growing a child. It's not pathetic.
But then I think about people who are working full time, like my friend Charlie, who she worked throughout her whole pregnancy, right up until she had a cesarean booked in, but she worked until the day before her son was born.
That's mad.
The whole way through. And she didn't really have any morning sickness. Like she found it a very easy pregnancy. But still working those long hours in a kind of high stress job. Like I just think about the people who are working full time in proper jobs, and I feel really lucky that I'm not doing that. Although I suppose I just would have coped with it and it'd be fine, because you just have to make it work. Yeah,
maybe a lot of people are just, you know, totally like gritting their teeth and getting through it.
Yeah.
Because that's what they have to do.
And I don't know if I said it last time, but there's this feeling about the people that we've spoken to who've said, who have that memory of going, oh yeah, I was so tired in the first trimester. I'm like, shit, everyone feels the same amount of time. This.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is crazy. And today also with work, I went along to a coffee tasting session. We need to get a new coffee blend there. And Max, the boss, knew that I like coffee and I was into it. But I was like, oh, I haven't really been drinking it at the moment. But yeah, I can come and do some tasting for you. And I got high.
You only tasted what, four lots, was it?
Four different coffees, but a couple of sips of each. I couldn't stop talking when I came home.
That's not the only caffeine you've had.
I've had a couple of cans of Coke in the whole time. But since, in 3.5 months, I haven't had a coffee.
No.
And my hands are shaking.
Yeah.
And I talked probably nonstop for about half an hour once I got home. And I think I'm still a little bit buzzy.
Yeah, it shows. That's really shows what coffee does to you, doesn't it?
Yeah. I always love that, because I love a detox anyway in life compared to this bit, which is not life. I love a detox. So those times when I go off caffeine for a month or something, and then when you have that first coffee and it's like, this works.
Yeah. Well, I told you the other night about, I was really tired on, was it Saturday night?
Mm.
And I had four gigs in London.
Yeah. And after we'd been up at six to go and do some filming.
Yeah, so we'd had a really long day. I had a late night the night before from gigs
with
as well.
With four gigs.
And I was really, really tired before going out to the shows. And you had some in the cupboard, in our little sort of medical supplies cupboard, some Australian Sudafed,
mm-hmm.
which have should be an illegal amount of pseudoephedrine in them. It's like 60 milligrams.
Yeah.
That's
why when you buy them in Australia, you have to show your driver's license.
Yeah, and you can only buy one box.
Packet,
and if your name will show up if you buy it too often.
Basically, because bikie gangs are turning them all into speed.
Because it is speed, yeah. So basically, and that's six, that's point. If you have, you know, it would only take, what, 10 tablets.
It's more than half a gram of
it's
speed.
It's more than half a gram of speed. So basically, I just thought, give me one. I took one.
Yeah.
And having not really been drinking or anything, I've been pretty healthy the last few months.
Yeah.
It absolutely knocked me for sick. I was like, I got to the gig and I was all rushy and weird. I had to have a beer to calm down.
And so. I just stayed at home and crushed up 5 of them.
Yeah. No, you didn't. Don't make our baby a speed addict before he's born.
No. Just be a kiwi addict. But I've kind of, like, we've still got a lot in the house, but I'm not as mad on kiwi fruit as I was before.
No, I know, because I bought some more for you yesterday, yeah. And you've not even touched them.
I know, because I'm still finishing the older ones.
Okay.
Because I don't like waste. So that's kind of what's going on in those departments about my body and me. I was just thinking some of the other things that we've been doing over the last week and over the past few weeks. Carl loves ordering books about pregnancy. And
no, I mean, I've currently got 2 on the go, which is They Fuck You Up by Oliver James.
Mm-hmm.
It's not actually officially called that. It's got asterisks across. What do you call those?
Yeah,
asterisks.
Is that an asterisk? Asterisk. Asterisk is the Gaulian cartoon character.
Yeah, I've been
saying
that
character.
Wrong for my whole life. So there's that by Oliver James. That's a book about how parents affect. It's basically about that sort of nurture nature argument.
Yeah, and it's got very small
font. Oh my God, it's got such a small font. You know when you see a book and its size and you open it and the font is so small that you get really sad about what you're about the journey you're
how
about
long
to
you're
go
gonna
on.
Be reading it for?
Because it took me ages to read Holly McNish's Nobody Told Me, which is brilliant. You know, that's a really good book about... I think it's a really good book for men to read whose partner is going through a pregnancy. Because it's a very personal account from Holly McNish, who's a great writer, poet. And it just, it's a really good, interesting story, essentially, of getting pregnant to the baby turning 3.
Yeah, I started reading it the other morning. Sometimes I wake up really early in the morning and can't go back to sleep. So I woke up at 6 the other morning, and after lying there for kind of 45 minutes, I went, I'll have a look and start reading that book, kind of the early bits about the pregnancy. And... I really liked it. And she describes it. She's like, these are things that I wrote down, while the baby was napping. Also, they're not perfect poems. It's kind of diaries.
Yeah.
And I've always written my diaries in poetry since I was a teenager. But I found it interesting because she's 26 when she got pregnant. And in her relationship, things are uncertain. And kind of just automatically the difference in that kind of pregnancy compared to you and me who were actively, chose this and have a very stable relationship.
And of old.
And of... older. And also then kind of as she's going on, the parts of her that are kind of questioning how much she wants it or the things that when she feels bad about going, is this what I want? And that feels... I'm not having any of those feelings, but I'm sure a lot of people do.
I think, that's what I suppose it's that thing of it's a very personal account. It's not this is what pregnancy is like.
Yeah.
It's what hers was like.
Yeah.
And I really loved it. I thought it was very interesting. But it's a long old diary, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I really like the vibe of it
It's great, But so having just finished that, I'm now, beginning this odyssey of... They Fuck You Up. And I've also got it going on in the background as well. I'm reading a book called Pregnancy for Men, which is the one that Felicity Ward recommended.
Yeah.
Which is like much more, about the what's going on in your body. And it's also written, I'm not massively convinced by the way it's written.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit too, hey, let's be funny and like appeal to the guys. And I'm just like, mate, just give me the info.
Yeah.
And get on with it.
I also... So it took me a couple of weeks, but I finished reading that Philippa Perry book. What's it called?
I think the book you wish your parents would have read.
Oh yeah, which I definitely wasn't mad on.
No, I don't. Well, I really enjoyed reading it, but I also have. I'm not 100% on the same page as Philippa Perry about parenting.
Yeah,
styles.
I think there is. I was just thinking about it this morning that there is some of that kind of the modern psychology of parenting that that creates those kids who think they're special and who think they are the one, like the world revolves around them a bit. Because there's some really interesting stuff. I found sort of the most interesting things is about just trying to see things from their perspective. So in the ways of like if a kid's having a tantrum or if, mainly if kids having tantrums or acting up against you, trying to work out why that might be and what they're reacting to and giving them. But then all, like a lot, because she's a psychologist, a lot of that language in ways that you just wouldn't speak, being like, I feel like we should really sit down and talk about this.
To a three-year-old. Yeah, exactly. I just felt like it's a bit too much of an idealized breakdown of how you should talk to kids.
Yeah.
I still think, you know, there is... I don't know. I think there is a middle ground between what she's saying and
the French kids.
Yeah, the French people who just basically just let their kids like just become adults as soon as possible.
Yeah,
you know, I think it doesn't have to be one of the extremes.
Yeah, but also in that book, along with it feeling quite long, sort of towards the end, it was about teenagers, and I was like, fucking hell, I'm not like it's gonna be 2035.
Yeah,
that is the future before. Have to talk to teenagers.
Yes,
but I'm glad I read it, and there will be things. There were definitely some other things that I thought were really useful that I've completely forgotten now. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like I knew the first time I read the French Children Don't Throw Food book, the first book I read, I knew that I wanted to read it again later on in the pregnancy to give myself some reminders.
Yeah.
But the thing you do with marking the sections is a really good idea.
Yeah, I do. I use these little stickers. But anytime there's a thing that I know that is something I should mentally know, but I know I'm going to forget it, put a little sticker in it. It sticks out the side. You can find it really easy.
But it's quite interesting because I read the Philippa Perry one after you'd read it. So I could see the bits that you'd marked and be like, oh, he thinks that's important. That's interesting.
Oh, no.
But again, I can't remember any of what those things are. And also in the past couple of weeks, I've also read Craig Revel Horwood's autobiography.
Which I think that's crucial reading during pregnancy.
It's called All Balls and Glitter. And my friend Susie, she's friends with Craig, and she gave it to me for my birthday last year signed from Craig, saying, have a fabulous 40th birthday, because she thought I was 40 last year.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought I'd read it now before I turn 40.
That's nice.
I actually really loved it, because he's from Australia, so there's all these places where he toured when he was first starting his career that I've been to. Anyway, completely unrelated to pregnancy.
No.
My mate bought a toaster. We go through celebrities' Amazon purchase histories so you don't have to keep calm and love Dom Jolly novelty keyring and fridge magnets.
Yeah, I love that.
The G-spot.
The good vibrations, guys.
Green dot laser sight rifle gun scope.
I've bought that quite a lot of times.
Right, okay. The sex doctor's guide to keeping it hot.
Interesting.
Did another child come along 9 months later?
Yeah.
Loads of great eps up now, and new ones dropping every Monday. That's My Mate Bought a Toaster from Great Big Al.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We also have been watching some TV shows. The Letdown that I got you to watch.
That's great. It's a very funny Australian sitcom about new parents.
Yeah.
And it is what I think. I know, obviously I know why you like it. You love seeing sort of horrible people.
Yeah, I do. That's
just act horrendously.
It's my favourite.
Any sitcom
comedy
where the people are pretty like gross at times, then you that's your sort of thing. And that is really funny. I really like it. And what was the other one? It's one about the babies.
Yeah, it's another BBC thing, like Here Comes the Baby or something like that.
And it's just people who are about to either give birth or receive a surrogate child that's due. And it's about their preparations and then the very early days of parenthood.
Yeah, but some quite a lot of those family, I think there's six families.
Yes.
I think at least three of them have children already.
One's and got four already.
It looks so fucked.
It does. And they're all so young.
Yeah.
Like, they're all like under eight or something.
The main tip I got from that one, the woman who has like the five children or whatever, as soon as her baby was born, she put the little finger in its mouth.
Her little finger.
Yeah, which I got, like, I was like, I've never seen that before. What is that? And it's, so I looked it up because I thought that was really interesting. I never had a dummy when I was little.
Really?
And I, yeah.
Why?
I think my mum had some sort of prejudice, or my mum or my dad, like it's a dump, like kind of makes you a baby, or it's like an easy fix or some sort of prejudice towards it.
You are a baby at that point.
Yeah. Makes you a dumb baby, a dummy. And I don't know if I remember that from kind of being a bit older. So I've always in my head since I was a child been like anti-dummy.
Yeah.
And seeing this, it's like when your child's born, like that sucking motion is really important to their development from the very start. And so you don't have to feed them all the time.
They just want to chew on something.
Yeah, they just want to suck on something.
Okay.
And you can just chuck your little finger in their mouth.
Ah.
So I'm going to do that.
Okay.
But you have to make sure your nails cut.
Yes.
But and often clean. My little fingers have long nails.
Yeah.
Which my mum, no, I'm not going to do it.
What?
My mum would call that a Chinese nose picker.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh, it's a different time.
It's also like a drug finger.
Yeah.
For my Sudafed.
Oh, come on. You're going to be a parent.
Yeah. Now, Carl sometimes does gigs for babies.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You came to one.
Yeah. It was really, so that's screaming.
It's not for babies. Let's just clarify.
Parents.
It's for parents of new children or children within, I think they've got to be under 18 months.
Mm.
So a lot of women, and you get the odd dad who have newborns and basically probably haven't been out of the house in a couple of months. It's a gig where they can go meet other parents and watch a comedy show where the comedy is actually for them. It's not a parent group and toddler group where all the any entertainment is all about the kids. It's something for the parents to go and actually watch something grown up
but bring their babies.
So it's like a safe place for babies to be, and the performers are aware that, you know, there's going to be crying babies around, but you just got to just perform to the parents.
And it's this one, it's screaming with laughter.
Yes.
And it was at the Bedford in Balham. I loved it so much. It's a pub. And so we walked in, like, first of all, there's just people with babies walking to the pub at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
There's a whole, like, buggy parking outside. And then I've never been in a room with that many babies. There's about 50 babies.
Yeah, there was about 50 parents, babies. Yeah.
Which blew my mind a little bit.
And everyone had a drink.
Everyone just had some beers and
pizzas.
Were getting food. And they kind of, like, they were in sort of, there was like a Streatham mother's group and a Tooting group, like a family group, but it was such a cool thing. Like, I just, you know, you know that they're just going to go, well, most of them probably go home afterwards, and who knows when the next outing might be, but it was I loved it.
I love it. I like doing them.
Yeah.
And I know some comics don't like doing them because you do have to totally accept that at any point, you know, a couple of the parents, their babies might start crying, or they'll need to do something like change them or feed them, and they just go off. Like, and I think a lot of comedians that they can't get over that normal feeling when an audience member just ignores you and gets up and goes. It's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, it's not. It's they've got something more important at that moment. And I think some comics take that almost, they still have that slightly personal, why aren't you listening to me feeling.
Which definitely the comedian who was on before you had. But also she had that thing where she felt like she had to like not talk about drugs and not talk about adult things because there were kids in the room. But these kids,
they didn't have
don't
a clue.
Know shit.
Exactly. So yeah, I think there's that was her first time she'd ever done one of them gigs. And I think I've seen that enough times to where, you know, my first one I ever did with them, I probably had that slight, oh no, this is so hard.
Yeah.
But actually, if you realise it is what it is and you just perform it to the parents and you realise that actually you're doing something for them, this is their first.
They don't want to hear about kid stuff necessarily. Absolutely. And don't want it toned down. They want to remember when they did cocaine or...
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, they just want to be treated like grown-ups and not just parents.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's fun.
But also then I saw that you had started doing some comedy, some material about IVF. And
I had, yeah, I've got some material.
Some new stuff.
I had to run it past you, hadn't I?
Maybe.
Okay.
I didn't realise that you'd... I didn't really realise you'd started doing it.
Oh, yeah. I think it was in the very, very early stages.
But it's cool. So, yeah, so lots of audiences have started seeing that already because you were doing it on the weekend as well,
weren't you? I did some at the weekend, yeah.
But there is... because you straight away kind of went... So... We're like, you haven't said that we've been successful yet. So it's just talking about
IVF.
I'm
still saying but we're doing IVF.
Yeah.
That's the starting point of the routine because it's important what the stuff's about. But I also don't want to say yet that it has been successful.
Yeah, because we haven't told everyone.
Exactly.
But I also really love that because starting to talk about IVF on stage, that you threw it out to the room and said, did anyone here do IVF? And I think in that no one... Or did one person put their hand up?
I think so. And then, but that mother, at the baby gig.
Yes.
I've mentioned it at like three of them now. And at one of them, about six parents put their hands up, different parents. And they all said they did it. And then I sort of asked, do you mind me asking when it was successful? And all but one of them, it was the first time.
Yeah.
And the other one, it was second.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But I like that you're talking about it because it is one of those subjects that is still taboo.
It's really...
And some people don't want to talk about it or admit it. Like, I said to Susie yesterday that you'd started talking about it. She was like, why is he talking about that? That's private. Why is he talking about that? And I explained it to her, just going, we don't mind talking about it. We're happy to tell people about it. And it's to make it not taboo because it is something that so many people try.
Yeah.
And learning that people I know who've tried it or, you know, been successful or unsuccessful or various kind of levels of non-natural conception.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good thing to talk about on stage. Well done, Carl Donald.
Thank you, Hannah Norris.
And so with telling people we still kind of yet to make it fully public.
I've still told more people than I should.
So have I. Who's the most recent people you've told?
Who's the most recent people I told?
I think you told Sean.
I've told.
What did he say? Didn't he?
Comedian Sean Walsh over lunch. I told him, and he said, "Oh, what does this mean now? We're not allowed to meet up for lunch anymore."
Yeah. Definitely.
He was joking. He was very happy for us. At the weekend, I told. I'd come off stage having talked about IVF and a couple of the comedians asked me how it was going and I just sort of said, Rob Deering and his wife.
Yeah.
I think most other people I sort of alluded to the fact, it's still very early days.
Yeah.
I sort of talked my way out of it.
Yeah.
But Rob Deering's wife, I just for some reason just totally told.
Yeah.
she got me unguarded.
We went to see Hannah Gadsby last week and I was just meeting up with her after the show and because I wanted to see her because she was leaving the country and I wanted to tell her in person before she'd gone. And, you know, Hannah's a very sensitive human and she's got autism and so she deals with things in her own way.
Yeah.
We get on very well. But the moment that I picked to tell her, she was pouring me a cup of tea and that nearly like she nearly scolded us both, but managed to not.
Yeah.
Although it was a delicate moment.
Yes.
But yeah, so we've got a scan coming up on Monday, which is that 12-week scan, which is the point after which it's sort of like a tester to sit. That's kind of when you know that everything's going okay or not. And that's kind of the most common time that it's safe, feels the safest. You've kind of got through the the tricky ground.
Yeah, that's the one where is that the one where you get a scan that you can normally send that picture around going, hey guys, guess what?
Yeah.
In June, we've
and
got
And you
a
have
new
to pay
arrival.
£5 for it.
What?
But yeah, that's the one where after you can tell people, which I'm really looking forward to, because as well as like feeling better, I also kind of feel like I'm starting to not have any symptoms. So there's a few times at the moment where I'm like, is it still happening?
Oh, yeah.
Is it even going on? So I'm really keen to check in and
yes.
make sure it is all still going on.
And not to get too graphic or bad, but when the other day you were saying, like, what if it's not in there anymore? I did say, you know, I think you would have noticed if it had something bad had happened.
Yeah. But you still like, but it does feel weird, because there was times earlier a few weeks ago where I thought I was sort of showing, but now I don't really think I'm showing at all.
Right.
Although I did pack all my jeans away and
I know,
all that kind
that
of thing.
That was a very early decision. That
I can't.
Was.
They're too tight. They're too tight and too high. And I can only wear them. I tried to wear one pair one day and I just couldn't even, like, I lasted no time at all. I went out in tracksuit pants yesterday.
I know. I was very
worried. I don't have any clothes anymore. Your tracksuit pants.
I know.
But yeah. But with the scan as well, I kind of did say, because you asked when you could tell your group of friends.
Yes.
And I sort of forbade you until after.
Yeah.
We got that scan.
Not for, I just wanted to know, like, what's the date where I can finally, you know, actually not work, like, work around it in conversations.
But it is also that it's my birthday next week and I'm having a party on the Sunday. And that was kind of the time I wanted to make it a really public thing. Like, people who are coming to my party, they can, who don't already know, which is probably most of them.
Yeah.
Kind of find out then.
Yes.
As a little birthday present to them.
Because we're going to get, like, what we'll do is we'll make loads of photocopies of the scan picture. We'll just paper the whole front room in it.
Yeah, gross. No, I've actually bought a sign, this glitter sign. I've started my Christmas decorations. There's only fairy lights, but lots of them up at the moment. A gold glitter sign that says, we're having a baby.
Nice.
But I want to put it up so it's not, so people kind of notice it at different times. That they might walk in and not notice sign's there.
Yeah.
And then someone else does and they go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, little tricky sign.
A little bit of fun there.
Yeah, just making it fun. Another thing that I did last week, you were away, I think, and I was just at home on Friday night. Oh, no, you were just doing gigs. And I was going to do my tax and I started looking into it. And then I started looking into maternity pay and maternity stuff, which was kind of intense, because there you can get some sort of government maternity pay, particularly if not in a full-time job or a job where then you are able to get maternity leave from.
Well, if you're self-employed, like you are.
Yeah. So I'm self-employed, but then also doing some shifts at the cafe, and there's all these kind of, like, in terms of getting the maternity pay from the government, it's like you look at the 66 weeks prior to your due date.
Yes.
And there's sort of measurements in that 66 weeks, which, like, one of them is you have to have been self-employed for 26 of those weeks.
Right.
Or been earning money from self-employment during 26 of those weeks. Or that you have a job where you've worked for 13 weeks and you've earned at least £30 a week. And then it chooses, like, a minimum pay. It's like a minimum pay based on the wage you have.
Yeah.
Or the government pay, which is about, I think it was like £134 a week you can get from the government. So I just kind of marked out my whole 66 weeks and things like, I'm in Australia. I've been in Australia for a big chunk of that. So I hadn't earned any money over here. There's other times.
And you
times.
Can't, it doesn't, it's not transferable. From
no, it looks like there's some countries where there is like a dual arrangement, but Australia wasn't on that list. Although, you know, again, this is something to be investigated more, but I'm glad I started looking into it at this stage.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's even things like, oh shit, so if I, you know, I do, it is good that if I work then that week, rather than not getting any payment from doing that.
Yeah, or, yeah, yeah.
Like, just trying to figure that out, because it would be helpful to have some extra money, as it always would. Which, again, another thing I was thinking this morning, a couple of years ago, my best friend was talking to her, and, well, I talked to her more than that, but one conversation we had a couple of years ago was not long after she and her husband had separated, and she just she asked me if we had a joint account.
Yeah.
And I think it was that we'd kind of talked about it, but not really properly committed to it or done anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But she really said to me that it was such, it became a real factor in their relationship that they didn't have a joint account. And so she's a very independent person and has always earned her own money. And for lots of the times in their relationship, she was making most of the money. But so when she then wasn't working, she really felt like she had to ask him for money.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And that kind of, they didn't have shared money that was hers as well as his. And that he wasn't particularly generous or particularly understanding of sharing that money. He was still in the mindset of, this is my money that I've earned.
Yes.
And it belongs to me. And her being independent as well, like having to ask for money was really hard. So that is something that we have set up a joint account.
We got a joint account. And I've got to say, actually, it was something that, I don't know, I think I always had a thing of going, oh, that sounds a bit gross.
Yeah.
But actually, now we've got it set up. We set it up, about 6 months ago?
Yeah. We haven't started, it's only really the past month
that we've started properly using it. Yeah. And it's quite fun. When you spend money out of it, I get an update on my phone. It goes, cha-ching, and I look, and it's gone, you spent £7 in Tesco's. I'm like, and I put it on my spreadsheet.
But it's still a thing, even in the last month, that we'd kind of talked and you were like, yeah, just if you're doing travel or whatever, just put that on the joint account.
Yeah.
Which I've been at this thing of going, I'm trying to catch buses and overground because I don't want to spend too much money on the tube and stuff like that. And I still have been putting, I put some on the joint account, then I put some on my own account.
Put it on a joint account.
But it's difficult. It's difficult from being, it feels like I'm
not independent.
Yeah. But I'm getting used to it.
Right.
I'm really getting used to it. So do you think that, okay.
I just gave Hannah the wrap up. No, I didn't give it. We've been talking for almost 45 minutes.
That's so good.
It's loads of time.
Yeah. I just had a couple quick more things.
All right. Let's share it with the people.
I just want to say about
guests. Wrap it up or I'll cut your allowance.
Oh, no. Help listeners. He's so mean. I'm also putting my wages into the joint account just to make that clear.
Of course.
This bit of vegan bacon I'm bringing home. So in terms of talking to the guests that we have over the past few weeks, which has been really good, I think. I've definitely learned something from every episode. One of the things, I've started using bio oil. That was Felicity Ward's suggestion. Even though I don't feel any symptoms and nothing's really changing in my body yet. Just being doing a preemptive strike. It is vegan, it is cruelty-free, and it smells good.
Yeah.
But I just got a little bottle because I thought there might be some better stuff, but I thought I'd just try that one. That's good.
Yeah.
The haptonomy thing.
Oh, yeah.
The knocking on the stomach.
Did we find somewhere that we can get it?
There's a few practitioners in London who do it, which I said, in France, it's kind of included in their NHS system. So often they'll do 10 or so sessions before the pregnancy, whereas in the UK it's not included in the NHS. People are more likely to do kind of four sessions. Looks like they cost about £80 a session.
Yep, we'll do that.
Yeah, because then you can tap and talk to the baby.
Yeah, I want to tap the baby.
Giving birth, which still seems like such a faraway thing.
Yes.
Although this genuine thing of maybe doing a home water birth. When I looked up the price of birthing pools to hire, I mean, we do have this blow-up spa, which we could use, but it might really taint it.
Yeah, I don't imagine when we bust the spa out that the next year's barbecue that people will be keen to jump in it.
Yeah, but the ones you could, from what I can see, I just kind of Googled hiring birthing. It's £150 or something.
I was really surprised. I thought it'd be loads of money.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good they've made it affordable.
Yes. Because I've actually seen, I think on that the babies TV show we were just watching.
Yeah.
When she went in the birth, it was a bath.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be bigger and.
Yes. Maybe we should use ours for space. Maybe we should rent ours out for £150 a time.
We'll both become doulas. that was, yeah, that was, I think that was all.
Cool.
Did you want to talk about anything from that? No, you want to wrap it up.
No, it's not that I want to wrap it up. I just I feel like, you know, we've got an update on your situation. I'll keep my reading going. And
yeah.
At the end of, I'll be interested to sort of write my reading list down to pass on to other prospective fathers.
Yeah.
Once we have a
child.
Your
bibliography.
Yeah. It'd be nice.
Yeah.
I've read some good stuff, you know. Some of it's not so entertaining, but I feel like I'm learning.
That kangaroo shirt that I saw one day?
Oh, yeah. There's a horrible, a t-shirt that men can wear to carry their baby?
Yeah.
But it's, the baby's against your skin?
Yeah, it's supposed to promote skin-to-skin contact.
But then
you
just walk around the street with a naked baby attached to your stomach. It feels weird.
Which is, yeah, it's the idea that that means your baby would be nude all the time.
Are
we that much of hippies? No.
No.
Don't want to
around the house, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't imagine I'd walk around the park with that.
With a nude baby.
Yeah. I don't feel comfortable with it.
No.
Cool.
All right. I'll wrap it up now. Just like all the Christmas presents I'm about to.
Oh, yes.
So that's our little update. We do have a guest next week coming up, which is cool.
Yeah.
So it's not just the two of us banging on about stuff.
No, but that was a full update on your
yeah.
situation.
Yeah.
Our situation.
Condition. My delicate condition.
Yes.
I'm going off to acupuncture now, and then we're going to a fundraising dinner tonight.
Yes.
We're going to where Carl's the entertainment.
Fundraiser.
So, yeah, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Thanks. After that scan. Okay. Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Quickly, we haven't got long. Please listen to the all-new Angelos and Barry podcast.
It's a funny one.
Oh, my God, it's hilarious. There's so much muck in it.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.